Let's go in-depth on Hawkeye Sports with the Des Moines Register. It's time for Hawk Central on 1460 KXNO.
Happy Wednesday, and welcome into a fresh edition of the Hawk Central Radio Hour here on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. I'm your host, Chad Leistico of the Des Moines Register, sports columnist who covers the Iowa Hawkeyes. And I'm excited to lead tonight's conversation in what has been a newsy first day of June. There's no question that Hawkeye basketball is at the forefront of today's conversation. A little after 1:30 today, Chris Murray gave Hawkeye fans everywhere some very, very good news that he would be withdrawing his name from the NBA draft and returning to college for his junior season. For the last 2 months or so, Murray has been going through the draft process, gathering feedback. He hasn't been doing interviews, but from what we have gathered through other reporting, he was to the point with the NBA where there was a real decision to be made. So I am excited to bring on a special guest here in a moment that can provide some insight into that decision. But first of all, as usual, I will say hello to my usual cohort here on the Hawkeye beat, Des Moines Register colleague Kennington Smith. Kennington, another busy day in Hawkeye sports, huh?
Yeah, no, it's been a crazy day. It's wild how, you know, basketball really took the center stage on the Hawkeye beat today. Your story that with Caleb Clark that ran Sunday's Register went online today, and that was a really great read, and I encourage everybody to go read that. And then we were just all kind of waiting for Chris's announcement as deadline day was today, but really good news for Hawkeye fans that he's coming back, and you know, it sets up for a really fun conversation tonight.
Absolutely. Chris could have taken this decision another 5 hours or so, but kind of got it out of the way about 4.5 hours ago. So to kind of add some insight into that conversation, I'm really happy to welcome into the show, making a very timely Hawk Central debut, Kenyon Murray, former Hawkeye, father of Chris, and another guy named Keegan. But we're going to talk about Chris tonight. Kenyon, welcome to the show. Nope, we lost Kenyon. Okay, we're bringing him back. First of all, Kennington, while we get Kenyon back on the line, getting two guests here on a live show can take a minute. What was your initial reaction, I guess? We kind of expected him to come back. But still, there was, you just never know until the decision is in.
Right, exactly. Anything can happen, especially in college sports, and we're talking about making a really big decision of staying or going, but I feel like I expected him to come back. I think that he looks at this as a very big opportunity to not only expand his game, get a lot of reps, be that kind of number one guy on the team, go to scoring option and all of that, but also in the long term, really improve his draft stock and, set to make a lot more money and be in a lot more favorable draft position by coming back and having the kind of year that many of us expect him to have. I think that he's going to be in the conversation amongst, the best players in the Big Ten. Whenever a draft board comes out for next year's class, I imagine he'll be among, the top 25, 30 prospects. So really big opportunity for him to kind of step into the forefront of college basketball, kind of what Keegan did this past year. And, I know that Fran McCaffrey and the coaching staff and everybody within the program is really excited to have him back.
Yeah, for sure. Caleb, we're still working, right? Okay, still working on getting Kenyon back, so sorry about that, folks. Some technical difficulties here on the KXNO lines. Figures. I can't do anything right these days. I'm due for a vacation. More on that later. I think I'm excited about this personally because I feel like, and I wanted to kind of share this with Kenyon as well, I don't feel like we quite got to know Chris like we did Keegan. Keegan was just such a superstar. He was at pretty much every media availability, every single post game. It was a no-brainer that you always, Keegan Murray is among the, guys that you request. And Chris had good games. He had games where he didn't play as much. And so his personality, really kind of shone here and there. Anyway, just excited to see that. And now I do believe we have Kenyon Murray. Kenyon, I gave you a really awesome introduction. You never got to hear it. But
it's all good.
But welcome Kenyon Murray, to your Hawk Central debut. Appreciate the patience here with our technical difficulties. And just first of all, what are the emotions today? As you know, you have one son about to be a top 10 pick, we think, and the other continuing the college life.
Yeah, no, we're excited. I think more importantly, it was his decision, right? He took the time. He did the work over the last 6 weeks or so, and really improved. I mean, he improved his skill set, and I think that's what people will definitely see when it comes to on the court. But I think he also, you know, validated that, you know, he's a very, very good player. And obviously coming back to Iowa, he'll have an opportunity to showcase how he's improved and help this team hopefully back to another Big Ten championship. So we're excited for both boys. Obviously, this is a big day for Chris.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said in the intro that you missed, you know, the main focus of this conversation tonight is about Chris and the decision he made, because it's big news for Hawkeye fans everywhere. You said he's improved a lot in those areas. What areas would you say he's maybe you know, taken the biggest jumps here in the last 2-3 months?
Well, I think the biggest jumps probably come in his mid-range game from 12 to 15 feet, being able to elevate and knock down that 12 to 15 foot jump shot off of one or two dribbles, adding counter moves to some of his drives that they had this year. Obviously, he and Keegan both love the spin move, which, you know, was, I guess that's a Murray staple as far as go-to moves, but he's been able to add to that. And I think something that people may not see as much as I do, just because I've been in the gym with him, you know, from day one, is his shot mechanics have gotten so much better. Like, they're so much cleaner. There's little to no wasted motion in his jump shot. And that's also come from him improving his lower body stamina. Cause when he started out first few weeks in Chicago, his shot mechanics would kind of tail off when his legs got tired. And so that was one of the things that they really worked on, with his lower body stamina. And that came from the conditioning and the agilities and things like that they did as well. So I think people see, you know, a lot of improvement in that mid-range game, his shot mechanics, and then just his ability to handle and create for other people. That'll be probably the biggest difference that they'll see between Chris and Keegan. Is Chris is he's played point guard, you know, growing up. He's, I think, you know, no knock on Keegan, obviously, but Chris is a more willing passer. So I think he'll be one of the guys that could have seven or eight assists and in a game. So I think there'll be some definite differences in the games when people watch, you know, Chris play this next year.
Nice. I'm looking for some triple doubles next year. That's the first thing that
pops
in my mind.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I'm going to throw it to Kennington Smith in a moment here, Kenyon, but first a few more. You know, I think there's some mystery on the outside to the NBA draft process. You know, why take it to the deadline? What does he all go through during this time? What would you say? You know, was there ever a point, I guess, you know, if you're envisioning a line where it's 50% come back to Iowa, 50% go to the NBA? Was there ever a point during the process for Chris where you feel like it got past, yeah, maybe he might go to the NBA?
Yeah, I think after really leading up to the pro day in Chicago, there was a lot of buzz about Chris. And I think a lot of people felt that him not competing in the combine was a sign that maybe there wasn't a lot of interest, but there was. And I think, you know, going into the pro day, and then he had a really good pro day in front of all the teams, there was actually more buzz after the pro day than prior to. And so there were serious conversations going on about potentially late first round, early second round. You know, and I think that's why we went up to the deadline, because we're still, you know, obviously the Memorial Day weekend put a little snag in some things as far as what teams were doing, but there was a ton of interest. All 30 teams have inquired about Chris. We got feedback from all 30 teams. Some like him more than others. It was just a matter of, with teams trying to figure out what they're going to do with their draft picks, what they were going to do on the trade market, free agency. There was too many variables going on that, you know, Chris wouldn't have been able to get, you know, a quote unquote guarantee that a team would take him just because of all that. So the fact that so many teams like him, the fact that he upped his stock, the fact that he's going to be able to come back and be the man and show that he can lead, I think those are the things that that NBA teams want to see as well. I think when Keegan walks in the room, He believes he's the best player in the room. Doesn't matter who's in the room. And that comes from being a leader and performing at a high level. And I think that's one of those things that, you know, Chris will have the opportunity to do and build on this year coming back to Iowa.
Well, that was my next question. Why Iowa ultimately? But I think you kind of answered it there. I mean, essentially, he's got a chance to be the man, right? I mean, that's something his brother got to be. I'm not saying Chris wasn't, you know, at times, but, you know, Keegan was just so consistent and, yeah, now is his time to shine for sure. All right, Kennington Smith, I know you've got some questions lined up. I don't want to monopolize Kenyon's time here completely. So I'm just going to push away the microphone and turn it over to you for a couple.
Right. Well, Kenyon, thank you for joining the show, first of all. You know, my first question to you is, the conversations that we've had kind of leading up to this decision, you've talked a lot about how this is a really adult decision for Chris to make, and him making this decision is kind of about controlling his own narrative and stepping into his zone. Kind of how have you seen him grow and mature as a person throughout this draft process?
You know, I think being away from his comfort zone, you know, obviously having Keegan in Chicago, there was a level of comfort there, but really not knowing what the day-to-day was going to look like. You know, how is he going to be tested physically? How is he going to be tested mentally? You know, what things that was he going to have to change in his own kind of routine that was going to allow him to take the jumps? And so where I've seen, you know, a lot of growth in him is just from the neck up. I think, you know, we've talked about it before, that's where Keegan made the biggest jump. It wasn't his athleticism. It wasn't his strength or anything like that. It wasn't his skill set. His biggest jump to be the player he was last year was mentally. And that's what we talked to with the trainers going into Chicago, is that Chris has all the tools to be an All-American, you know, first team All-Big Ten, whatever. He has all the tools to do that. But it takes a jump and an understanding on how you have to see the game from a mental aspect, how you have to prepare yourself mentally when you're going to be the focal point of a scouting report. And I think that's where I've seen it. He was able to go into these workouts against other NBA prospects, against his brother, who will never tell you that Keegan or that Chris got the best of him. But, you know, Chris gave it to Keegan a lot of times. And so I think, obviously, the twin thing, and they know each other, but there's just no back down in Chris. And I think, you know, that's the biggest jump I see, is just the mental aspect, concentration, and confidence that he's gained over the last 6 weeks, I think, is really going to propel him into a really good season this year.
Right. And everything that you've been saying in terms of improving physically, obviously improving mentally, and the invaluable information that he's gotten throughout this draft process, kind of what do you foresee in terms of the leap that he can continue to take when he steps back into his comfort zone, coming back to Iowa and rejoining the team for summer conditioning?
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, he's gonna step into a leadership role. Not that he didn't have it last year, but obviously you had Keegan, Jordan. I think having Connor back is going to be huge too, because Connor is the heart and soul of the team. I mean, he's what galvanizes the team. But where I think Chris will really step out, you'll see, you know, that leadership come from him. I think he's a little bit more vocal when it comes to that, and you'll see that a little bit more out of him with this team. But I think where you'll see Chris really affect the game is his ability to create for other people. Chris has played point guard. I mean, at DME, he flirted with triple doubles. And I think being able to have the ball, play downhill, not being in the post all the time like he did last year as a five, I think you're going to see that he has a crazy ability to create opportunities for everybody else. And when you've got guys like Patrick and Peyton Sanford, you know, guys that can spot up on the perimeter and knock down shots, you're going to see Chris be able to create opportunities for them as well as get his own when he needs to. And so I'm just excited that he'll be able to play, you know, with the freedom that Fran's going to give him next year, stepping in this role that's, you know, obviously been vacated by Jordan and Keegan leaving. I think there's a lot of things that people will try to compare the two on, but I think once he gets out there and play, people will see that there's a huge difference in between how Keegan plays and how Chris plays.
For those just tuning in, you're listening to Hawk Central from the Des Moines Register and KXNO. I am Chad Lystico talking Hawkeye basketball with Kennington Smith and our special guest, Kenyon Murray. Kenyon, you touched on it right there, and I saw your tweet earlier, the fans saying, oh, you know, projecting their lineup already, and you're, you know, he's just saying Chris is not a five. So, he's, I think that's exciting to think about him kind of being a little bit more of that small forward. And I think that's kind of probably where he projects in the NBA as well, right? What is your opinion on where Iowa stands in the front court right now? Because obviously they're, you know, it'd be nice if they had, you know, Luka Garza or another Keegan Murray in the middle. But, do you think that it might just have to be a different style of team, I guess, this year for the Hawkeyes?
No, you know, I think, and this is actually talking to Chris the other day, you know, we probably feel like, you know, Phillip obviously his best position would be at the four, you know, playing alongside a five like, you know, Josh or Riley. And one of the things Chris said is he feels like Riley's going to be really, 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 really improved this year. He showed some flashes last year. Obviously, the way we played and the lineup we had, he didn't get a lot of minutes. But there are some things in practice that Chris felt that Riley did really well. And having another year under his belt, obviously, reclassifying and coming to Iowa a little bit younger than most, it takes a toll on a young guy. I can't imagine being 18 coming in, even though I was. It's like it's crazy to think. But I think, you know, Chris is going to be in that four spot alongside Patrick, and obviously being able to, those two spots are interchangeable. I think where we'll see the biggest thing too is where Chris can affect on the defensive end. He'll be able to guard all four positions on the floor, whether it's one through four. He showed that he could guard the five, so if they have to go to a smaller lineup or something like that, he'll be good. But I think that he's really comfortable with what we're going to have at the five. And if it's by committee where you have Phillip, Josh, and Riley doing some damage, I think our firepower is going to be at that three and four spot. I mean, obviously, well, two, when you got Tony, Patrick, Chris, and then you throw in Peyton Samper, who's actually grown some. I think he's like 16 now, being able to shoot the basketball. So
there's a scoop.
You could have three guys on the floor that can all shoot the basketball at 6'8", 6'9", between Patrick, Chris, and Peyton. And so I think, you know, offensively, we're still going to be really good. You know, obviously, DeSante Bowen is heralded coming in. So I think they're and Connor's there. Connor's the glue to the team, and I think you still got a really, really good nucleus. We know Fran's teams can score. I think the biggest question mark, like you talked about, is that five position, and more than anything, we need defense and rebounding out of that position. I think those three guys can get it done for us again next year.
That's great insight there, Kaden Murray. I did a little, in a piece I wrote today after Chris's decision, threw out some numbers from Keegan's freshman year and Chris's sophomore year. You know, they played almost identical minutes per game. Chris had a little bit of an edge in scoring, you know, and so his points for 40 minutes really as a sophomore were higher than Keegan's were as a freshman. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, how do you – number one, do you think that Chris could have that type of numerical season that Keegan had? Number two, do you also – you mentioned kind of avoiding expectations, but do you also kind of embrace those expectations, I guess, as a bar of what Keegan did this last year?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, Will – you know, I don't know if he'll – you know, I think he could, you know, average 20, 22, somewhere in there, but I think his game will have him in that, you know, 18 to 19 points a game. He'll probably – I feel he'll be close to double figure rebounds, you know, 8 to 9. He's always been a better rebounder than Keegan. And I love my boys to death, but you know, the truth is what the truth is. And so he's always been a better rebounder than Keegan. So I think, you know, those numbers may be better. And I also think his assist numbers may be higher. He still has to work at finishing at the rim. Keegan was phenomenal finishing at the rim. And that's one of the things that Chris really has to work on is finishing when he gets in the lane and those kind of things. So, you know, he may have a little bit lower shooting percentage there than Keegan, just because that was a really, really strong suit for Keegan. But I think you'll see Chris, the steals, 2 to 3 steals a game. I think he can be in that round. So I think you'll see a really, really balanced stat line from Chris. And I think it'll just show that he can affect the game in a multitude of ways too. And then obviously if need be, you know, he's shown that he could go for, you know, 30 points in a game, not being the focal point of the offense. So I think the sky's the limit for him. And like I said, he'll embrace it. He knows he's going to have to, you know, deal with the comparisons. But they've done it their whole life, so
true.
Nothing that's new to them.
That's true. Yeah. I think any Hawkeye fan listening to this has to feel pretty good, pretty excited about Chris Murray coming back to the Hawkeyes. And Kennington, I want to throw it back to you because I suppose if we've got Kenyon on the line, we probably should ask at least one question about Keegan. The conversation has been awesome.
Right. Right.
So
might as well ask one.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. Well, the question that I have concerning Keegan is, you know, last year it's been so much talked about the offseason that he went through and kind of that mentality shift and the physical shift that he went through, which led to his, his breakout year. Coming into this offseason where he's just focused on basketball, he doesn't have, school obligations. And what have you seen in terms of maybe not a mentality shift, but maybe just kind of a continuation of what he did last offseason now that he's, full-on professional basketball player and just focusing on that full-time?
Yeah, the one thing that Keegan has always done is he's really taken care of his body. And that's one of the things, too, as far as being with Priority. Their trainer, Ryan, has really helped him understand, good food in, good foot out, really maximizing the calories and those kind of things that he's putting into his body, the good proteins and stuff like that. I think that's where we're going to see the biggest – that's going to be one of the bigger things because the NBA is all about recovery. He can do whatever he wants to get – bigger, stronger, faster, that kind of stuff. But how does it recover? So that's one of the things that he's really focusing on is what's going to optimize his recovery day in and day out. From a skill standpoint, his ball handling has been something that, it's amazing to me that people look at his age at 21 and say he's old and that he has a high floor and low ceiling when the reality is the kid has made unbelievable jumps just in the last 3 years. Not only physically, but just in understanding the game. And I feel like he's a true professional, just the way he goes about himself. And he puts in work. I didn't think his shot could look better, but his shot is effortless now. I mean, he's shooting it 2-3 feet beyond the NBA line with ease. And now it's about, okay, putting that handle in, being able to create off the dribble. And the kid works. And that's the one thing, you can't measure how much time and energy and effort a kid puts into his game, and that's the one thing you're never going to have to worry about with Keegan is he's always going to be working on his game. So I think for him this offseason is really about taking the things that he's not very good at and becoming good at them and taking the things that he's good at and excelling at them. So I expect him, honestly, with the right team and situation, I think he can be, an all-rookie type player. I think he can, potentially be rookie of the year. Because I know my kid, and I know how much he's going to work, and where he's come from in 3 years, I don't think anybody could have written the story. And I think that he's going to continue to do what he does, keep his head down and grind, and whoever drafts him is going to get an unbelievable person more than anything. So I'm just excited. I'm excited to see what happens over the next 4 or 5 months with him.
You should be really excited, really proud. We really appreciate your time. Kenyon Murray tonight. I guess we'll see you back in Carver Hawkeye Arena in a few months.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy, man.
You got to follow both kid, now, though.
Kid in high school playing basketball, one in college, one in the pros. It'll be definitely a busy time for the Murrays, but, we do everything as a family, and we'll enjoy this as well.
So. You got any special celebration now that you kind of have this decision, or are you waiting for the draft to be over?
No, I mean, it's really we know this is kind of the calm before the storm because once the draft hits, it's, get to market, find a place to live, get ready for summer league, get through summer league. Yeah, it's just going to be crazy. But I think, the thing is, we do everything as a family. We support each other. It's an exciting time. We're trying to enjoy the ride. And the biggest thing for Michelle and I is being able to help our kids focus on the things that they love to do, and that's basketball. So whatever we have to do for Keegan, for Chris, to keep all the noise away, to make sure that they can do what they love to do, that's what's most important. And that's really what's gotten us to where we are right now is that family bond and that support that we have for one another. So we'll do it as a family, always.
Well, you certainly raised two fine young men. We really enjoy interacting with both of them, and we'll continue to interact regularly, I guess, with one of them. So thank you again, Kenyon Murray. Appreciate
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, fellas.
You bet. You bet. Lots more ahead here on Hawks Central as Kennington Smith and I go through what to expect from the 2022-23 Hawkeye basketball team now that Chris Murray is back with the Hawkeyes. You are listening to Hawks Central on 1460 KXNO, now on 106.3.
Everything you need to know about the Hawkeyes. It's Hawks Central with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to Hawks Central Radio here on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. I'm your host, Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. Thanks to Kenyon Murray. Wow, what an outstanding interview. That was a great 20 or so minutes regarding Chris's return to Iowa, regarding what he expects from Keegan in the NBA, maybe even Rookie of the Year. And fans have to be pretty excited, I think, after hearing that segment. Kennington Smith and I will break down the Iowa basketball rotation, what we thought of that interview, et cetera, in moments, and kind of dominate the rest of the show with that conversation. But first, I had four quick topics just wanted to touch on before we move on in Hawkeye sports. Number one, Iowa baseball goes down in the Big Ten tournament over the weekend. It was kind of exciting to watch all those games. I guess they had five games in 4 days, Kennington. And I think the highlight or low light of the week was the fact that a Michigan pitcher was cheating. And it basically got ejected from the game, and Michigan went on to win. So is that enough of a punishment when the other pitcher is, greasing the ball or putting a foreign substance on the ball?
Yeah, so he got, I believe it was 4 games, and I went and looked up what MLB was doing, because I think it was last year they implemented the rule about, like, banned substances for pitchers, and they said they were threatening with 10-game suspensions. So we look at it from that lens, less than half of that time. It seems light, but I also think that they're considering where Michigan is in the season. Like, they're about to play in their regional. They might not have that many games left. So I think that, it might be kind of like, it might turn out to be a season-ending suspension for him if Michigan gets bounced out of the regionals in quick order. So that's kind of how I interpreted it. So if it ends up being like that, then I think it's an adequate punishment. He's missing the most important part of the season coming up. But a cautionary tale for college, pitchers out there. And, it makes me wonder, just in general across the sport, how often this actually happens, because I believe it was it Iowa's bench or somebody from afar pointed it out to the umpire and let him know. So, that just makes me think about, how many times this has happened. Not only through Iowa season, but just across the sport in general, that doesn't get picked up on.
Yeah, just a shame that the Hawkeyes did not get into the NCAA tournament, but even worse of a crime that Rutgers did not get in. It just really shows how difficult it is for the Big Ten right now nationally. And I was hoping to get to catch up with Rick Keller this week, catch his thoughts on that, but I know he's not a big fan of the RPI, so... Hawkeyes had a really good season, and it wasn't even enough. So I realize it's frustrating out there if you're an Iowa baseball fan. All right, number two on my list was Caitlin Clark. Thanks, Kennington, for the plug. I didn't even, it's not like I put that in my rundown. That was a nice voluntary plug for my article and interview with Caitlin earlier in the show. And I will say there was a chance that she was going to maybe co-host the show with me tonight. She had a previous commitment. So we're going to do that next year. That's the plan. We're going to do that next year when she's back in West Des Moines. But thank you for those that have read the story. It was fun to talk to her, watch her work out, and just listen to all the things that she's working to improve on going into her junior season. Her Iowa career is half over. It would be easy to kind of, just keep taking the logo shots, kind of build off your fame, off the, being the most exciting player in college basketball. But she's working on turnover limitations, going to her left, her post play, and even the way she interacts with officials. That's all on her list, Kennington. Anything stand out for you from the article?
Yeah, I think, you're kind of hitting on it, and what you brought up, it just seems that she is just kind of on this relentless pursuit of wanting to get better. And I think that all of those things contribute or will contribute to Iowa women's basketball continuing to have success. And when we talk about, expanding her brand and becoming more of a national name, if we're looking at it from the lens of the sport, the true way to do that is to play deep into the NCAA tournament. get on that national spotlight, be able to play in, you know, Sweet 16s and Elite Eights and potentially Final Fours. And I think that she took a very mature approach to the offseason and just kind of pinpointing, you know, areas of her game and even attitude and mentally that she can improve on so she can perform at top shape, make the players around her better. And in turn, Iowa women's basketball will continue to have success, you know, maybe repeat as Big Ten champions and make a much deeper run in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, it's just really interesting to look at her, as she had an historic season and Iowa women's basketball made history and they were able to do a lot of really cool things. But, you know, she's still looking ahead to what's to come in the next few years and everything that she can still accomplish.
Number three on my list, I just wanted to point you to a different podcast, Hawkeye Report. Our friend Tom Caker, who was on the show last week, had a really insightful pod. I believe it dropped last night regarding the NIL collective that is coming, the Swarm Collective for the University of Iowa. So look for that maybe later this month to happen. So those worried about the Iowa Collective, it is on the way. And lastly, Kennington, number four, on the football topic, you know, our radio show last week did not get to touch on Charlie Jones' departure from the Iowa program into the transfer portal. I will point our listeners to the fact that we had a 30-some minute a separate podcast on that very topic, so we won't get into it too much here. I don't believe he has landed at Purdue at this point. I think that's where we think he might go, but that's not official. I guess any final thoughts, you know, since it wasn't actually addressed on our radio show last week, that you have on Charlie Jones?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm looking at it now just kind of from the lens of what Iowa's receiving core is going to look like next year, who's going to kind of like step up in his absence. And this is something that I asked wide receivers coach Keldon Copeland about during springtime, is the natural attrition in football. And Iowa didn't have many scholarship receivers in the spring. By the time we got to end of spring practice, Kirk Ferentz kind of spoke a little bit about, you know, how difficult it was to run practices and do 7-on-7s and those things. And that's really going to be the same concern through summer going into the season with only 6 scholarship receivers. They have several walk-ons and they added one yesterday as well. So I'm just going to be really interested to see kind of, you know, how they manage that and maybe potentially what walk-ons might be able to step up and earn a spot into the rotation, because it seems like there's going to be you know, if not a lot of opportunity, there could be opportunity created just by the natural attrition of the game itself. So, you know, Iowa has a very strong walk-on development program, and I think that if we're looking at it from the lens of this year's team, that could be a position group that really highlights, you know, that aspect of the program.
Yeah, well put. And just to tie in points number one with four, Brody Breck's season is now over for baseball. Time to take over that mantle as a contributing wide receiver now for the next 5 or 6 months. All right, back to basketball, Kennington. Boy, that was a fun conversation, wasn't it, with Kenyon Murray? I mean, that was, I think if you came into, I don't know, June, ended May with the fact that, oh, this Iowa basketball offseason's been lousy. Two assistant coaches leaving. We lost Joe Toussaint. We lost, you know, Keegan. We lost Jordan. You know, didn't get a big man in the portal. Listen to 20 minutes of Kenyon Murray there, and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good about the Hawkeyes next season. I guess you've already tweeted the Riley Mulvey comment that they feel okay right now about the five. I don't know if Iowa fans do yet, but coming from a guy that you would think probably knows Kenyon Murray,
that's probably right.
That's pretty good insight.
Yeah, that's, you know, this whole conversation and the whole day has been about, you know, Chris Murray, and we talked a little bit about Keegan as well, but I feel like that's what stuck out to me the most in the course of that conversation was just, you know, that kind of nugget that he had about Riley, the confidence that he has in him being able to take a step up. And I think that, you know, that might be a conversation, you know, worth having as the months go on, that, you know, maybe Iowa wasn't able to get a dominant center out of the portal who's proven. But that doesn't mean that there's not an answer still on the roster somewhere. It might just take a little bit of time for that to develop. And he said, did he say Peyton Sanford grew a little bit?
Which yeah, 6'8". He said 6'8".
Right, which is like, that's, you know, a crazy development in itself. But, you know, we see that, you know, throughout sports that sometimes they kind of go through these growth spurts and adding a few inches and all of that. So that, you know, Peyton Sanford was a proved to be a pretty good rebounder last year down the stretch of the season. With some more height, he might be able to, you know, continue on, maybe even improve as a rebounder. So for the woes that Iowa had last year, that might put fans' minds at ease a little bit as well.
Yeah, and I kind of like, I don't know, I kind of like the aspect of just keeping the fives as the fives. I mean, if you're going to have to, Filip Hrabacha is going to have to play the five, no question about it. But definitely, you know, give Fran or whatever, you know, credit for bringing Filip back. I mean, just think, if they didn't have Filip coming back, you'd really be concerned about the interior. But Filip's coming back. Don't forget Connor McCaffrey. Boy, how many times did Kenyon say, talk about him being the glue of the team? He's coming back. So they've got a lot of pieces on this roster. It's suddenly a kind of a veteran team, Kennington. I mean, talk about, you know, Hrabacha and Connor at the, as like old men practice. I think they're going to be almost 50. They might be 50 years old combined next season. I mean, I'm not even exaggerating. And then you think about, they have five juniors on the roster in Aaron Ulis, Tony Perkins, Chris Murray, of course, now Josh Ogundele and Patrick McCaffrey. That's seven of the 11 scholarship guys, you know, that are on the older side. So Iowa actually suddenly kind of has a little bit more of a veteran roster, and Chris Murray is going to be kind of their versatile leader.
Right. And I think that the something about what you just said about that experience is there are times in college sports where you can have older guys in the program, but they might not have equity on the court. You know, you might have players who have been in the program for a while but haven't played a lot, and they're stepping into an opportunity where they're older, they're getting a chance to play. When you look at Iowa's team, the way that they were constructed last year, the way that Fran used his rotation, you know, all of these guys are not only older in the program, they have a lot of playing experience. Even Riley Mulvey, who didn't play a lot last year, was able to get some minutes in the Big Ten championship game against Purdue. So you know, you kind of look at it top to bottom. It's a veteran team in terms of age, but they're also veteran in terms of what they've been able to do on the court. A lot of these players stepped into major roles for the first time. Some of them are going to have the same role. Some of them are going to have to take even a further step in order for Iowa to get back to the NCAA tournament and hopefully make a farther run in it. So that's kind of where I'm looking at the roster is, you know, now bringing Chris back into the fold and thinking about what Kenyon said about playmaking and rebounding and shot creation for himself and for his teammates, you know, kind of opens up a realm of possibilities where you can't help but get excited about what Iowa, you know, could look like next year.
And wow, that's just in breaking news. AJ Green, the former Northern Iowa star, is staying in the draft. He will not be going to Iowa State or Duke. But I think the thought was he was going to be going to Iowa State. I mean, that was months ago, kind of heard that as almost a done deal. But A.J. Green going to the NBA draft. So, you know, one of Iowa's rivals, you know, maybe didn't get as strong as we thought they did today. And the Hawkeyes certainly got a lot stronger with Chris Murray coming back. We're actually going to talk basketball the whole rest of the show, as far as I know it. And I think I'm leading the conversation. So unless you take it in another direction, we're going to stick with hoops. But something Kenyon touched on was – oh, go ahead.
No, what I was just about to say about what you just said about A.J. Green is that it right there is a perfect illustration of players coming back to school and not going into the draft is not as much of a guaranteed thing as you may think it is. So we just heard what Kenyon said about Chris and – you know, strongly considering the draft. And at one point there was a lot of interest and it was a big decision to come back to Iowa. You look at it on the other end of the spectrum. This is somebody in Green who, you know, maybe from their fan base's perspective was kind of penciled in as somebody that you would expect to come into the program. It's not a guarantee, but you felt pretty strongly about it. Maybe as strongly as we felt about Chris coming back, and that didn't happen. So, you know, that's just, you know, kind of like a yin and yang of what these players have to kind of go through emotions wise in their thought process and deciding whether to stay in college or go to the draft.
Absolutely. Another big man in the Big Ten, Michigan's Musa Diabate, who just killed the Hawkeyes in Carver. If you recall, that was in Carver, right? Where he had like 28 points.
Yes.
He is staying in the draft as well. So you think about, you know, how many big men were in the Big Ten last year. Some of those guys have peeled off into the NBA. Some of them are still around, but you know, maybe Iowa's lack of a five will not be quite as damaging as it might have been last season, I guess, as you think about it. But then again, the Hawkeyes won the Big Ten tournament, even against that climate. So interesting stuff. When we come back, Kennington, why don't we just go right through that, what we think the Iowa basketball rotation might look like, what kinds of fun combinations might be possible. We will discuss all of that and more, and the possible beneficiaries of Chris Murray's return next. You're listening to Hawk Central on 1460 KXNO.
Everything you need to know about the Hawkeyes. It's Hawk Central with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to Hawk Central Radio here on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Chad Lastico of the Des Moines Register here, taking you to the 7 o'clock finish line with my colleague from the Register, Kennington Smith. It's been a fun show so far. Kennington, we have 10, 11, 12 minutes here to stretch our legs in this Iowa basketball conversation. Wanted to build off something Kenyon Murray talked about, just the fact that Iowa is going to have so many wings that potentially can shoot the ball. Now, you know, Patrick McCaffrey is Iowa's top returning scorer. I think people probably assume maybe it's Chris Murray, but it's actually Patrick McCaffrey. Between him, Chris Murray, and Peyton Sanford, who I think we both agree is going to take that next step this year. That could be an interesting group combined with Tony Perkins, who we can't forget. I think I'm guilty of forgetting him sometimes. Those four guys kind of on the wing, guys that can shoot, score, make plays. If you could rotate those four in three spots, the 2-3-4, I think you've got something there out of the gate.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're talking about shooters, versatile defenders, so long, athletic guys who can switch and shoot from the perimeter. That's where the NBA game is going. I mean, that's just where the sport is going in general. Right. And, you know, you can't have any shortage of those type of guys. And it's interesting, the conversations that we were having a year ago about Iowa's team and, you know, where the perimeter shooting is going to come from and where is the defensive, you know, prowess of the team going to be and how are they going to be able to match up. And looking at it from this year's team, that might be, you know, one of the strengths of the team is the fact that they are so strong on the perimeter and they do have capable shot makers and players who can defend. And along those lines, I think that once we start getting into conversations about, you know, a possible death lineup, which, you know, you're familiar with that term, right?
The death lineup. Explain it.
Okay. So that was probably made most popular by the Golden State Warriors when they were kind of like in their, I mean, they're still in their heyday, but like when they were really rising up through their NBA ranks and they were able to have a lineup of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala, and Draymond Green. So we're talking about five really good players who can all shoot and all play, you know, the perimeter, can pass the ball, switch positions. You look at Iowa's team, you know, maybe a possible lineup of that could be like a Tony Perkins, Peyton Sanford, Patrick, Chris Murray, Philip Obracha. Maybe that, you know, maybe you might take Philip out and start Connor McCaffrey into that mix. And I know that Chris isn't a center, but, you know, those five on the court at one time, maybe not, you know, to start the game or play, you know, they're playing 30 minutes together, but just for stretches of a game that are critical where you really feel like the team needs to make a surge or make a move. You could kind of have those possibilities out there where you could really create, you know, matchup nightmares for the other team. So that's kind of where my thinking is with this team is, you know, you kind of have all of these guys on the perimeter. You have these versatile players and, you know, a team like Iowa that likes to move up and down the court and get it out in transition. I think that it just opens up a lot of possibilities and, you know, we'll see a pretty high scoring team this year.
Yeah, that is usually the case with McCaffrey's guys, and I think you make a good point about the length on defense that they're going to be able to provide. I mean, Perkins is 6'4", Aaron Ulis is 6'3", Desante Bowen, the other point guard that Iowa's going to have this year, and probably, in my opinion, I think he's going to ultimately be the starter. I think he's that good. Is it 6'3"? I mean, you go six. You know, you take away Joe Toussaint and Jordan Bohannon, obviously out of the backcourt, but you know, those are two shorter guys that didn't have that length you're talking about, and maybe ability to. Now, Joe was a good defender, no question, but Yeah, you know, that's a different story if you're a Tony Perkins, you know, 6'4", defending the wing and able to, you know, get rebounds and all that stuff and throw Peyton Sanford in there. Chris Murray, boy, I mean, just listening to Kenyon talk about Chris potentially being a little bit more of a creator, you know, maybe like a, I don't know, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists type guy. I mean, that's kind of what I heard from Kenyon. Maybe not 5 assists, but maybe. I don't know. It sounded like
it. Yeah, depends on how much he's having the ball in his hands. I think that that's kind of where, when I talk about the possibilities, I think that, you know, you're right that it's probably going to be a true, you know, 1-5 lineup, and Aaron Ulis and Dejounte Bowen are going to have something to say about that point guard spot. But I think that something that we saw a lot last year is a lot of players being able to kind of create with the ball in his hands, especially in the Big Ten tournament. We saw Tony Perkins pop out with games where he had, you know, 4 or 5 assists. Obviously, Jordan Bohannon was a great point guard. Joe Toussaint could distribute as well. I think that when you look at this year's team, you have, you know, Connor McCaffrey who can distribute the ball. Chris is obviously, you know, the playmaker. That's what Kenyon said, and we'll get a chance to see that. Tony Perkins is coming back along with the point guards. I think that there's going to be a lot of options in terms of, you know, who can facilitate the offense at any given time, especially, you know, in transition.
You know, this team might have a little less margin for error, I guess, with 11 scholarship guys. And then one of them being Josh Dix, who we don't know where he's going to be at in terms of his leg injury early this season. I think mentally you probably should take him out of the, you know, definite equation for now. And I don't know where Josh Ogundele is going to be, you know, with his you know, is he going to be firmly in the rotation? Is he going to be kind of that spot guy like he was last year? But I think between the top 8, so take out Ogundele, take out Dix, take out Mulvey just for a second, that top 8, I think you could rotate that group pretty easily with Ulis, Bowen, Perkins, Connor McCaffrey, Patrick McCaffrey, Peyton Sanford, Chris Murray, Philip Rabracha. And then sprinkle in, you know, the 5-man of your choice. It sounds like it might be Riley Mulvey based on what Kenyon said. I think that's a pretty formidable and versatile 9-man group, because Connor can play anywhere. Chris can play just about anywhere. Perkins can play 1 or 2 very easily. Peyton Sanford, probably 2, 3, and maybe even 4. Patrick McCaffrey, 3 and 4. That's just, I just like the versatility of this group. Maybe we're sounding like a broken record here, but that leads me to one of my last questions here as we run closer to the finish line. But is this a better team than a year ago, a worse team as a year ago, or something different? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I would have to say something different. I can't say a better team because of what last year's team had, which was, you know, what we think is going to be at least a top 7 pick, potentially a top 4 or 5 pick in the draft. You have Jordan Bohannon, program staple, legend, multiple record holder, can do a lot of things. So from that aspect, I can't say this team is better, but I do think that there is an opportunity for this team to compete for another Big Ten championship. I think that there's a lot fewer question marks about this team than maybe last year's team. I think that we know who the shooters are. I think we know who's going to be in the rotation for the most part. I don't think that inexperience is a question mark like it was last year. A big talking point was a lot of these guys haven't played on the road. That's not going to be a concern this year as well. I think that you have a lot of players who are a lot more confident, especially after playing the roles they played in last year, winning a championship, not having a lot of tread on their bodies either. I mean, there were a couple players who played, you know, a lot of minutes, but for the most part, the guys that are coming back weren't, you know, 30-plus minute guys. So you have, you know, kind of like those fresh bodies that might be able to withstand playing larger minutes in a smaller rotation. So I think that there's a lot of things to feel good about in terms of this year's team. So I think it'll be a different team, but I can't say that they're a better team than last year's team.
Yeah, I mean, that team won 26 games. I think we got to give them their proper due. That's the second most in Iowa history. So, yeah, that would be a high bar to clear. And the fact that they won a Big Ten tournament title, or number 5 NCAA tournament seed. But I think a lot of Hawkeye fans, given kind of the offseason trajectory, would definitely take some kind of similar season the offseason trajectory that it felt like, I guess, until, you know, Chris coming back. I wrote something today, Kennington, and we both had several pieces up, actually, combined. I think we had three or four pieces up on the website today about Chris Murray's decision. One of the things I wrote was kind of the beneficiaries of Chris's return. I mean, just take Chris out of the equation for a second and think about him not coming back. Then where does your team turn? I mean, that's just how big of a – he really is kind of the straw that stirs the drink, in my opinion. I think that's where you look at, you know, would suddenly Patrick McCaffrey have to be kind of the go-to guy? Would that be, you know, even Tony Perkins? Or, you know, you just don't feel like you have that number one guy, but now you do. And I think that just makes everyone around them better. I kind of think that Patrick McCaffrey may be able to benefit the most from this just because he plays a similar position. Chris is probably going to get more attention. And, you know, I think Patrick might be able to do some statistical damage. And I think he's a really, really good player. How about you? Who do you think might benefit the most from Chris's return?
Yeah, that was a you know, really good point that you made about Patrick and those things. I'm looking at a Tony Perkins as somebody who I think could really, you know, benefit from this. We're talking about spacing the floor, being able to create a lot of shot opportunities. Tony Perkins is fast. He's explosive. He might be able to, you know, catch a mismatch on the perimeter. He's going to get a lot more open shots if Chris is crashing down and he can kick the ball out. And I just think that the way that he ended last year, the confidence that he was playing with, and the element to the team, especially down the stretch that he added that Iowa was missing, was, you know, that kind of backcourt scoring. You know, Jordan struggled at the two, you know, and that transition, like we spoke on earlier, Joe, is Joe Toussaint wasn't a scoring guard. So Tony being able to kind of provide that scoring and a little bit more consistency there really helped the team. And I think that him stepping into a role this year where he knows he's going to have a bigger role and there's going to be more opportunities for him with Chris, I think that he's set for a big year.
Well, I will be taking some vacation time starting tomorrow, but Kennington Smith has you in good hands at HawkCentral.com. He and Andrew Downs will have you covered on next week's show. I will return the week of June 13th with special guest LeVar Woods to join the program that week. Until next time, this is Chad Lystico with Kennington Smith saying so long. See you next week on Hawk Central, 1460 KXNO.